Well, good morning, everyone. It's really great to have you here this morning. And we're just really trusting God's going to minister to us. I just want to deal with a family matter quickly. I was here beginning of the year, and I was sitting in the front chair worshiping the Lord, and the Lord put in my heart, He said, paint. And it scared me when God said paint, because I've loved the wooden sides. And when the Lord said paint, so we have been deliberating as an eldership team since January till now. So I'm just warning you, because every one of you have different color schemes in your heart and preferences. I'm just want to be obedient to the Lord, and we're not going to please everyone in this process, but we're looking at painting the sides. And why are we doing that? Because God told us. It's as simple as that. I believe God's preparing us for the new season and where He's taking us into, and I really believe He's making this place attractive to the world, you know, and attractive to us. So we're going to be making some of those decisions in the short while, and you're going to see some change. But we're going to do a good job, I promise you. We're not going to just do something lackadaisy. We're trusting God to work wonderfully amongst us. Can we have the slide projection up, please? I'm going to pray first before we do anything. Father, we just thank You for this wonderful time that we've had this morning to be able to worship You. It's been a privilege, Lord, and the testimonies just of Your goodness and Your grace, that it's You, a miracle-working God. We need to be reminded how faithful You are and how good You are to us. You have favored us, and we are so appreciative of You. But Lord, as we come again, Holy Spirit, You come to teach us. And I pray, Lord, that You would reveal Your word to every one of us today, that our minds would be renewed, that our hearts be refreshed, that something of heaven would be our reality here today. Father, You teach us to pray, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I pray that heaven on earth amongst us today. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of my message today is Learning Christ. Now, I've been a Christian since I was 16 years old and fervently following Him from about 21, around then. And, you know, God puts you on a journey. And, you know, this gospel that we are called to preach doesn't just come simply. It is profound. I had the great opportunity to be able to study accountancy. And you go through the different levels of learning things, and you start with the basics, and you learn out what is a debit and what's a credit, and then you see how it's all put together, and eventually gets to a balance sheet and income statement, and then you get into the depths of it and analyzing these things and seeing the involvement that it gets. But the reality is you never learn everything. And it's the same when it comes to this gospel, is that when you give your heart to the Lord, what happens? He opened up your life to another dimension, and now you're on a journey of learning. And I want to introduce you today is learning Christ. Because, you know, we can take different roads here. We can learn churchianity. We can learn the traditions of men. We can learn a religious system. But I don't think that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to learn Christ. And that is the revelation. And I want to just say is that if you go and read your Bible carefully, and especially the life of Paul. Paul was a Pharisee of the order of Gamaliel. He was trained in the Jewish way. He was trained in the Old Testament, in the law. He knew the things about God. He actually persecuted the church. And when Jesus met him on the Damascus Road, his greatest revelation was when Jesus said, when he said, "Who are you, Lord?" He said, "I am Jesus, who you are persecuting." And the reality, because Christ was inside of those people that he was fighting, and he comes and says later, you go and read in the book of Galatians, you go and read that he says that Jesus himself came and revealed himself, that he lives inside of me, and taught him to live in Christ. And I want to just say, as you read the scriptures, especially the epistles again, you will see that Paul never had a full revelation initially. You go and read carefully in the scriptures and go and read in chronological order, you'll see there was a continual revelation, even to Paul, understanding who Christ is in the outworking of life. And that's where I want to present some of these truths to you today. I want to say to you, When it comes to the Word of God, you may hear the Word, but to understand and for it to be a revelation to you, you need God the Holy Spirit to help you. And you've got to work together with Him and enable Him to come and put that seed within your heart and in your mind that you can come to an understanding. Because these things come through wisdom and come through revelation. God is outside of creation. What we're looking at now, we see creation. The Word of God is outside of creation, and it's only the Holy Spirit that can come and reveal it to you. So you might not catch everything today, but may what the Holy Spirit was saying to you today, may you take hold of that. And may you meditate on it, and may you ponder it, and may it become life to you. May you be changed today and be transformed. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it talks about giving our bodies as living sacrifices to God. But it says, "Do not," in verse 2, "do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God." You see, there's a process. If we want to learn Christ, our minds need to be renewed. God has completed His work. He's put Christ in us. The completed fullness of Christ is within you. But to get Christ to live and dwell in you and to work through you, you have got to renew your mind. This entity that's part of your soul that's got to be renewed with God's Word has got to be renewed. That's your and my responsibility walking through life is to renew our minds according to God's Word. It is foreign to us. And God the Holy Spirit is going to come and is going to bring us to a place where we can understand Christ. So the text I want to use today, if you'll get your Bibles, please, and I want you to turn to Romans chapter 5, and we're going to read verse 17. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. You all got your Bibles, I hope, and the Word of God is so important. As we heard the other day in China, they never had their Bibles, and they would memorize it. And I want to encourage you, you've got the Bible, make sure you have your sword, especially folks, we live in a modern world, put it on your phone, and that the Word is with you at all times. You'll be amazed how the Holy Spirit will take His Word and reveal it to you at the inappropriate times. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. "For if by the trespasses of one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ?" And I want to say is that reign in life through this one man, Jesus Christ. Now, I want to open this up that you can understand this living Christ within you. We finished up last week, and I said we'll be talking more about living with Christ and Christ in you, living this supernatural living, living in the fourth dimension, learning Christ in our day-to-day living. You see, the Father has put everything into Christ. If you want to know the Father, you've got to know Christ. And as we come to know Christ as the fullness, Colossians 3:11 says, "But Christ is all and in all." And you see, the Father always points to Christ. And when you find Christ, you'll find the Father and you'll find the Holy Spirit. So we've got 14 points to get through today. I don't think we're going to get through them, but I'm going to try my best to understand and learn Christ. Heaven to earth, folks. Number one, that Christ will reign in your life through one man, Jesus Christ. I want to just say to you as believers, God never called you out of the world into His kingdom to be in survival mode. He called you into a glorious kingdom. He called you into a higher life, and it's found in Christ. And the Bible says here that we need to reign. And my understanding of reigning, when I went to look at the Greek word behind that, it's to be a king. And God is not scared for you to be a king, to reign in Him, because that's why He says in Revelations, He's the King of kings. And you are those kings. And you know, the devil will try and dupe you and say, well, you are worthless, you're not worthy, you shouldn't be existing, you were a misfit, you shouldn't be living here today. But when Jesus comes into you, He says, that is not true. He wants you to be in this place and to live in a place of a king that you can rule and reign. Now, that's a very important thing, because so many of us are subject to what's happening around us. We allow things to dictate our circumstances. We're never above. We're always the tail. We're never the head. We need to be ruling and reigning. The scripture in Genesis said, go and multiply, but rule and reign. And we need to rule and reign. But where must we rule and reign as kings? We've got to reign in Christ. Not as dominance and as individuals looking for power. And we see that throughout the world, that we see, especially politicians, they want to be ruling and reigning, and they want to be dictators, and they want to be in that position forever. Only if they could find Christ, they would know that they can rule and they can reign over their lives and over their circumstances. Now, this is something you've got to learn. It doesn't happen overnight. You've got to learn the skill of being a king. And the Holy Spirit's got to teach you. And you've got to reign in life. And this is a very important point, is when we reign in life, the life that God has given us is His life. Remember I said this life that God has given us comes from heaven. You never had this life before. God has given it to you. So we've got to reign in this life through Jesus Christ. That's important. He's the conduit. He's the essence. He's the fullness. You don't add to Him. You go through Him. It's like electricity. Electricity needs a vessel to go through, and we use copper wire, and it's insulated. Electricity flows through that. You cannot flow through something else. The life of God cannot flow through anything else. It has to flow through Christ and Him dwelling within you. And then when you find that secret, you start to get on this journey of working out life. The next point is, this brings us, as we start to find Christ, we learn what it is to have a rich relationship with God. Luke chapter 12, verse 21, "Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth but does not have a rich relationship with God." And I want to just say, as I've walked with the Lord for a number of years now, the joy that I have is my relationship with God. And as it grows more and more intimate on a daily basis, and I believe that's for you. I remember a minister saying to me, he says, "You can take everything away from me, everything that's precious to me. You can take all my earthly possessions away from me. You can even take my home, my vehicle. You can take, and God forbid, you take my children and you take my wife away from me. But you cannot take your relationship that I have with God away from me." And I think that is, if we understand that essence that God's called us to, that's why God created us. Yes, He created us to reveal Him to a world, but he created us to fellowship with Him and to have a rich relationship with Him. That's God's greatest desire. He wants to have an intimate, personal relationship with you. And through Christ, I want to just say that you can have this rich, this abundant relationship, that you can find this affluence of the resources of heaven flowing through into your life. It's that joy that Jesus opened up the way, this life that He's given us to live. The next point is, you have life in you. You have eternal life. In John chapter 5, verse 24, it says, "Most assuredly I say to you, you who hears my word and believes in Him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." This is key. Because those that are unbelievers are physically alive. They're living on earth. And God loves them as much as He loves us. He pours the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. He loves them. But they are in a condition of death. Even though they are living, they do not have the life of God. You see, the life of God comes through Christ and comes through Him. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And you have received God's life that lives in you. You are no longer dead. Isn't that incredible? You've received eternal life in Christ. And here He lives inside of you, and He's moved you out of this death and darkness. No longer do you have to live according to this world. You can live according to heaven that dwells within your hearts. In Romans chapter 6 verse 23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And that thing, I want to just say, you're going to meditate on that. You are not a normal human being anymore. You have been created as a new creation in the image of God, in the image of Christ. And this life dwells within you. You are not caught up in this world anymore. Even though you live in this world, you've been placed in everything that God has for you. He has given him, given you his very self. And if you could understand that, that when you look to the resources within you, you have heaven within you. You have God and who he is within you. And when you know that, that you can overcome anything. In Revelation chapter 1 verse 18, Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. But he says here, I have the keys of Hades and of death. Death does not rule and reign over you anymore. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible that death no longer has any reign over you? The next point, learning Christ, the love of God is in you. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Now hope does not disappoint, but because the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is being given to us. You know, Jesus, when he walked on earth here, and he was walking with especially the religious people, he would look at them and he would assess them. He wouldn't judge them, but he would assess them who knew God. And how did he work out those who knew God? And he says here in John chapter 5, verse 39 to 42, and he's talking to the Pharisees and he's talking to the religious. He says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me, but you are not willing to come to me that you might have life. I do not receive honor from men, but I know you that you do not have the love of God in you. Isn't that incredible? That the Lord was looking at men and he was assessing them and just seeing, do they have the love of God in them? And we are in an incredible privileged position that we have the love of God inside. The finished work of the cross, that God the Holy Spirit comes and puts the love of God in us. This, what we talk about, and we get it fancy with the Greek word, we talk about the agape, which is God's love. But you do have the love of God in you. And you are a world changer. You and your influence through the love of God. I know it's sometimes when we look at the flesh that operates in our lives and that, but we have this love because the Bible in John says God is love. You know, people are looking for God and they're looking for this image of immense magnitude who he is. But he comes and reveals himself through love. And you have this love within you. And I want to just say, love never fails. Go and read 1 Corinthians 13 regularly, because I think we need to be reminded regularly about the love of God. We all fail, but we must come and knock and say that we can love. And you know, I'm sure many of you come across situations and there are difficulties and broken relationships and people get on your case. And the Lord wants to teach us is to bless our enemies, to pray for them that truly that they will be blessed, that they will be forgiven. You see, we see so much in the world today, and I've just seen it, is that because of broken relationships, there is so much unforgiveness in this world. And it destroys because the love of God is not there. And the love of God has to be taught. You've got to teach your children to love. And this love of God, as God teaches you, he's going to teach you to love in the circumstances that you find yourself. Jesus was loving, but he was firm. It wasn't just wishy-washy. It was firm, knowing the will of God in doing those things. It's profound. And how to do things at the right time when God is actually wanting to work. This love will transform you and bring you to a maturity that you've never understood. You know, the great prayer in Ephesians chapter 3 is that we might be rooted and established in love and know the love of Christ. This is profound, folk, of walking in this love. This is not wishy-washy. If you want to get mature and you want to grow in Christ, grow in his love. Grow in his compassion. Grow in his kindness. Grow in his gentleness. Be caring. Be trusting. Be keep no record of wrongs. Always protecting. I'm telling you, it is profound. because it's contrary to the world. Absolutely contrary to the world. And we will be tested in this area. Jesus was tested in this area. And you need incredible wisdom of God to walk in love, especially with those difficult cases. You know, we don't choose our friends. God chooses them for us. You might have chosen, say, Lord, this is the church I want to go, but God led you here. Now you've got one another here. We all got warts. We've all got skeletons. We've all got issues, but we must choose to love one another. And yes, we do love one another, but do we? But do we? You know, when we walk out here and something happened, then that word goes out and the criticism comes out. I want to say, if you want to learn Christ, learn to love. And you have that ability within you to walk in the love of God. Now, I'm not saying be stum now. Yes, you must converse and you must communicate, but learn to love like never before. You know, put pressure on yourself to allow the love of God to come through you. You know, you have the ability to choose the words that you speak. Now, God doesn't tell you what to say. I'm guilty, I promise you, I'm guilty. But we have a choice of what we say through the very words that we speak. And those words can be saturated with love all the time, but they can be saturated with darkness. We have the ability to do those things. And, you know, I want to just say to you, get there on Wednesday night. Why am I saying that? Because all of us have to deal with fear. And fear will destroy your testimony of love. Because you, all of a sudden, you'll be talking darkness over your circumstances, into your situations, and you will not speak in life. Because life brings love. And we need to be speaking life into our circumstances. So I want to encourage you, if you really want to grow in Christ, if you really want to learn to love like never before. It is not weak, folk. It's not weak. It's God Himself. You know, we don't see the Lord because we've got to walk by faith. But if Jesus physically appeared here and you would look and you would see Him, you would see love. Those that have had visions of Him and have actually seen His face and have looked into His eyes, they say they melt because He just brings out love. He is the fullness of love. And He wants us to be like Him because He lives inside of us. Now that's a choice. You can block Him. You can block Him. And I want to encourage you, let's grow into this maturity. You know, the scripture says they'll know you for your love one for another. And you know, you guys do love one another. And I want to just say we need to grow more into the maturity. We don't settle in this thing because you'll never get to on top of this thing. You've got to mature in this thing. You know, when you plant a seed in the ground, it becomes a shoot, eventually becomes a little bush, and eventually becomes a tree. We need to be oaks of righteousness. I don't know if you've been to Europe. And there was some of the old monasteries and stuff, what they used to do, because they were planning for the future, and they knew they had to build the monasteries, and they needed timber. And what they did, they planted rows of oak trees, and they knew it will outlive them. And these trees are 200 years old, and these massive trees that are used there. That's how God wants us to be rooted and established in the love of God. This will transform your life. It will just transform every outworking of your life. And sometimes you will be stepped on. You'll be a doormat because of that. You know, the world tells you to be firm and to be hard and to be strong. Yes, we need to be that. But let me tell you, when you walk in the love of God, you'll be an overcomer like never before. Amen. The next point, when you learn Christ, your concept of faith changes. Now, this was one of the revelations that God gave to Paul, and we've got to comprehend. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And Galatians was one of the earliest books that he wrote. And I read it again. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Now, if we go back to the original Greek and we go and read this again, and the old King James actually brings it out clearly. It says here, "The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Very, very important. Because we can get into a works program, and I really believe what actually happens, sometimes we are stirred up to exercise faith. And I want to say we must exercise faith, but we must understand what faith. And I want to say to you today, Paul learned this, if Christ lives in you, you have the faith of the Son of God within you. That faith resides within you. We've got to learn how to exercise it, and that's by believing God's word, that's by speaking God's word over our circumstances. It's Mark 11 where we speak to the mountain, but we have the faith of God. You see, natural humans have faith. And what happens is that some of the teaching that's out there, that people have faith in their faith, that is wrong. We no longer live according to our human faith. We live according to Christ's faith within us. And we have to learn how to exercise this dynamic of God's faith in his word. You know, God operates in faith. Do you know that? And we look right from the beginning when he created the heavens and the earth. There was void. There was nothing. There was absolutely nothing. And he said, "Let there be light." And the scripture says there was light. God spoke with faith his word and exercised his faith. That faith is within you. Now, some of you are facing circumstances, and the way to get out of it, yes, is believing God and trusting God. But I want to say something. Mark 11 says, "Speak to your mountain." Now you're going to seem ridiculous. You're going to stand there and you're going to be talking into the wind. But no, you're going to be speaking the word of God over your circumstances. It might be a difficult child. It might be a business transaction. It might be a health issue. It might be your business. I don't know what you're going through. But I'm telling you, you know, God has given you something and he's given you the tools to be in Christ to speak. And you know, we look at the Lord's life and how he walked. He said to his disciples, "Let's go to the other side." And they went to go and deliver that man in Gadara. But on the way, there was a storm. And you know, the disciples in that thing were so scared and bung, but they knew the waters, and they thought they were going to die. And Jesus was fast asleep because he was so tired. But what did he do? He woke up in that thing. He challenged them about their faith. And what did he do? Didn't put his hands on the water and they went still. He took the word of God and he spoke it. And he spoke, "Be still." And he spoke to the waves and he said, "Be still," and it became calm. And I want to just say is that same Christ lives within you, and the storms that we face, there's something of this faith that God's put within us and his word. As we put the two together and we express it, we move mountains. We move mountains. That testimony today about Mel, that was the impossible situation that she faced. The cysts that grew, the hormonal issues, trusting God, speaking his word, little by little, God came through. And now the miracle of a child, where the doctor said there's no hope, God said there is hope. And they started to speak. Now, I don't know what you're facing. God wants to bless you, and God wants to work through you. And that's why some of the blessing that we do see is that we honor God with our finances. But let me tell you, let's honor God with our words. And let's start to speak into our situations. Let's not get hyper faith, but let's get the faith of Christ. And let's see Christ start to work into our circumstances. And I promise you, you're going to change the weather pattern in your life. You know, the Lord and I, every morning, one of our daily rituals is I love to go and get the weather app. And I like to see what the day is. You know, what's the weather forecast? And I prepare for the day. But another one, Mark Elliott showed me another one, is this radar one. It shows you the weather patterns, the cold fronts that are coming over. And you see them coming up from Antarctica and how they move up over South Africa. We can change those weather patterns over our lives. The devil also comes and he brings destruction, and we got to stand against those things. We're in the day of evil. We must resist the devil, and we can change it. But now, we can't give too much focus to the devil. We need to resist him in the day. But what about speaking the word of faith over our circumstances, confessing the word of God? And this is not name it and claim it, and this is not the prosperity gospel, but this is Christ. We need to be doing some of these things. We cannot continue to live as mere human beings. We've got to live as kings and live in the supernatural. And how do you get the supernatural to work? Got to speak God's word with the faith of Christ. Now, when Jesus spoke to his disciples, he measured them on their faith. And I don't believe it was there wasn't faith. It was how they exercised their faith. And I want to encourage you, God is measuring all of us. How are you exercising your faith in the circumstances where you are? You know, the book of Acts says he knows the exact places and the times where you should live. And he knew that we should be living here in South Africa under all the turmoil and all the stuff that we live in. So don't run to another country unless God tells you. Work it out here. But let's have faith and let's speak to our circumstances and let's pray. We had an incredible prayer meeting on Friday night. The army of God got together and we prayed, and we moved mountains. We moved mountains through prayer. And I want to say that's what it is. Prayer is speaking to your mountain. And I want to encourage you, if you're going through stuff, get down before the Lord and say, Lord, help me. Help me to speak to these mountains. Number one, you've got to identify what the mountain is. I think that's a key thing. You can't just go willy-nilly. I tell a story. I don't know why the Lord's leading me down this. You've got to be specific about these things. Many, many years ago, I was trusting God to buy a property, and then the Lord came to me and said to me, what area are you looking at? And then eventually I did all my homework, and I found this is the area we want to buy. And then I knew when I walked in the area, I knew I had peace. This was the area. And then the Lord said to me, be very, very specific. And I got a piece of paper out and I wrote down. I said, this is what I want. I want so many bedrooms. I want double garage, all these things. And, you know, I even got to this point. I said, Lord, I want white walls and black gutters. Go and look at my house today. All that, white walls, black gutters. God answered that. That's the specific that God wanted. And now when you're dealing with things, be specific with God. Remember Dr. Yongi Chow was asking for a bicycle, and the God came to me and said, I know you want a bicycle, but what color do you want? And at that time, when he lived just post-Second World War, the best bicycles were the American bicycles, and they came out yellow. And he said, Lord, I want a yellow bicycle. And it had to come all the way from America, but he got a yellow bicycle because he asked specifically. So I want you to do that as you exercise your faith. Let it be specific. God will do something incredible through your life. This faith is a wonderful, wonderful outworking of Christ. Don't sit on your hands and do nothing about it. God wants you to work with him. And as you work together with him, you will change your circumstances. You will change, as I said, the weather pattern that this creative God that's within you has given you an ability to change your circumstances and to change your weather pattern. Okay, I'm going to do one more, and then we're going to pray for you. I'll have to continue next week. The next point is, number six, is your concept of the law changes. In Romans chapter 8, verse 2, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. This is a big obstacle to the church. We read the Bible from the beginning to the end. We read Old Testament and New Testament because it, from the beginning to the end, it's a revelation of Jesus. But what actually happens is that when we get up and get caught up in the Old Testament of the rule book, that we start to live by a bunch of rules and regulations, we get caught up in that and we don't walk in freedom of the Spirit of life. And God wants to set us free from that. He wants us, because Jesus came, he says, I fulfill the law. Now we can start to live this life in Christ, which is the life in the Spirit. We can start to live this life. And that's where God wants us to get to. He wants us to be in a place that we would start to live in the Spirit rather than living according to rules and regulations. I want to just say to you, the laws that were given to Moses are not written off. They are fulfilled in Christ. So when you live in Christ, those things are not obsolete in a sense. They are in you. They're written in your heart and in your mind. And you start to fulfill those things. I don't know the difficulties of the rules and regulations, of eating regulations, but the essence of what God gave the Israelites is in our hearts. The essence, the principles of love and the principles of obedience and all those things are within our hearts because they're fulfilled in Christ. You cannot get more than the one who actually wrote them actually now lives in your heart. Now you live according to him because he's telling you living what to do. This is not a rule book that you live by. You live by a relationship and asking him in the difficult situations, all the situations, what do we do? See, this is the transformation. We move away from the tradition of men. You see, God has called us to live as a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, therefore if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. New creation. There was creation. Man was created. In Christ, you're a new creation. You've got to live differently. You can't live like the old man. The old is gone, the new has come. And we've got to renew our minds and start to live as a new creation. And I want to give you the principle is that if you live as a new creation, you live a new creation life. And that's what we're talking about. As you start to live in Christ on earth, the fulfillment of this will be when we go to heaven and we be with our Lord forever. But we start to live this new creation life. So that's a little bit of a deposit. I'll have to continue next week. We've run out a bit of time. But I want you to ponder on these things. If you really want to grow in the Lord and you want to mature in him, I'm just a vessel. I'm a no one. I'm really just being raised up by God to preach his word. But take his word, meditate on it and ponder on it and let it become life. Take these points and just say, Holy Spirit, teach me. Teach me to live and learn and live in Christ and to grow in this dimension of Christ. And we talk about fourth dimensional living or living a supernatural life, living in the Christ, living in the Spirit. I want you to grow into that. I want you to grow into this maturity because God doesn't want you to live in, I'm no longer live, Paul said. I've been crucified with Christ, but now I live in Christ. And as you can start to live that, I know you might not feel anything, and maybe some of these things have come to you today and said, I don't really understand these things. Good. Now you ask the Holy Spirit, and let him help you and grow in this thing. Because, you know, when you stand before your Father one day, he doesn't want to see your good works. He wants to see Christ's works through you. God hasn't abandoned us to live life. He's come back, and the miracle is he's come back to live his life through you and I, in your personality type, in who you are, in your circumstances, in your family, wherever you find yourself. God is still living on the earth, but he wants to live according to his ways, not our ways. So don't suppress Christ. Give him the full opportunity to live his life through you. Don't get religious. Don't get traditional. Get to live life and live this abundant life that God wants. You've got to push. You've got to work hard on these things. We went cycling yesterday, and my mates and I, they pushed me 75 Ks. And when you're tired, you don't want to go, and they're right in front of you, you've got to say to yourself, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give up. You know, Lance Armstrong wrote a book, It's Not About the Bike. It's not about the bike. It's about what's in your heart and in your mind. And you've got to push. If you want to learn Christ, It starts today. But you got to push, and you got to push, and you got to push. And when it's tough, the tough get going, and learn Christ. And when those trials come, rejoice in them, because God wants to teach you Christ, how to get through them, how to be obedient, how to overcome in those things. Hardships are part of growing up in Christ. Jesus went through suffering. I'll talk more about that when we get there, but learn Christ. Can I pray with you? Father, you're taking us on a journey we don't choose, but that's your path that you have for us. The path of righteousness is to know your Son and Him to live His life through us. And Father, I lift up every individual here today, and especially those that are not here today, to Holy Spirit, will you teach us Christ? Will you enable us to live in the fullness of Christ in every event and every situation we find ourselves? Lord, we realize we are weak, but you are strong, and that you are gracious to us, and that you will teach us through this process to learn the grace of God and to be ones that will glorify you and that will honor you. But I pray, Father, as we measure ourselves this time next year, we will be different because we have matured in Christ. Not in ourselves, in our own abilities and our talents, but we've matured in Christ. And Father, I pray that prayer of Paul over us, that every one of us will be rooted and established in the love of Christ. So Father, take us, use us to glorify your name. May we have a testimony of Christ wherever we find ourselves. May our ministry be Christ. May we preach Christ crucified. No one else, just you, Lord. And may you find fullness in our lives as we honor you and glorify you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Go and have a glorious Mother's Day. Come and join us for a cup of tea and coffee. But God bless you all. We'll see you during the week. Amen.